Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to MarketCap News on Wednesday, the 13th of August, 2025. You know, it's funny, when you're an investor, you can feel, you know, different days, depending on what you've read, you can feel bullish or bearish. Sometimes you feel bullish because your stocks are up, and when your stocks go down, you can feel bearish. But it's hard to read, because if you read too much macro, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, but sometimes it doesn't translate into individual companies that you hold or you're researching. And so I think it's really hard to sort of make investment decisions at a company level based on macro doomy, gloomy headlines. Because like I said, some companies can do very well in a gloomy environment. And so I think all you should do is focus on, you know, individual companies, their results, their fundamentals, their numbers, not the story and narrative around that on a global level. But today, I'm feeling the economy may be getting worse. I know we've, you know, I mentioned this many times, and many commentators have mentioned it about the budget in April has hit employers very hard. And it's funny how you get a chancellor saying, you know, growth is the number one strategy. And the first thing she does is penalise the growth engine of the UK, which is small and medium-sized enterprises, by raising, you know, the cost of national insurance for them, and also national wage, and also making it harder for employees to get rid of people if they're rubbish, which you've got to do. You can't just take someone on and have no period, no trial period, when they could be a skiving liar, essentially. But basing it on individual companies here, I've looked at three companies today, results, and they're all consumer-facing, and they've all come out with quite bearish results. Now, of course, this is looking backwards, so it may change, and there's quite a few of them, or many of them, saying the weather was to blame because of unseasonably hot weather. But again, is this a one-off? I mean, we have had four heat waves, which is, I think, nearly close to the record in 2022, which is five. But if you believe environmentalists, this is going to be the norm. So you can't keep blaming the weather as a one-off. It may not be a one-off. But, yeah, anyway, but, so all I'm saying is look at individual companies and then realise what sector they're in, and maybe, you know, use that as a read-across for those kind of sectors, those areas, other consumer-facing brands. Now, I'll get into the results of these companies in a bit. Before I do that, let's look at the markets, first and foremost. FTSE 100, where is it? It's flat, 9,152. FTSE 250, it's up a fifth of 1%, 21,889. How far are we up from the high there? 22.16, so we're not far off that. FTSE small cap is 71.73. That's up a tenth of 1%. By the way, it's odd, isn't it? It's you know, there's been lots of bearish calls. Like yesterday's American data, CPI data, wasn't as bad as people thought. You know, everyone thought the tariffs would be kicking in, and even though CPI data has gone up, I think the last three readings, it hasn't gone at a scary level where people think, "Oh my God, what's happening there?" Maybe it's still to come. People are saying it's still to come yet. American markets, you know, close, well, they are at all-time highs. That's always a worrying factor. Of course, momentum and people are buying in. Money inflow could take it a bit higher. But fundamentally, it is quite highly valued, and of course American markets have an effect on our markets. So you've got to be aware of that. But again, should you invest or divest on this alone? Probably not, because if you're holding a company in the UK that's UK-based, it may be undervalued and growing. So you have protection, but, you know, we've seen wider market sentiment can take shares down. But as it happened in April on the tariff worry, you know, in hindsight, that was a buying opportunity. That's why I love stocks and shares. There's no real answer. All you can do is buy, you know, improving businesses at good value that are growing, that are good value, and ride the ups and downs. It's all you can do, really. You can't predict some of these data points that are going to come out. FTSE, small cap, yeah, FTSE fledgling is flat, 13,354. The AMOL share, pretty much flat, 759. There do seem to be a range here. Again, the only thing that's going to rescue, I think, some of this market, the markets are struggling, are interest rates coming down. But Bank of England central banks tend to be behind the curve looking at past data. Whereas, you know, more real dynamic data comes out, you know, during and after they've made decisions. Anyway, Brent crude. So it seems to be rolling over here, which is a bit of a barometer of, you know, world health. Of course, there's dynamics in that, as in supply issues and demand, of course. But it's down 0.7% to 65.84 bucks a barrel. Where's copper? Gold is resuming. I think, you know, we had a little bit of scare with down 2% 2 days ago, but it's, I think it's going to resume its growth. It's up to 0.5%, $3,416 an ounce. The high, recent high here was only 4 days ago, 3,492. And copper, it's pretty much flat. It was at 9,975 bucks a ton. S&P, so look at that. S&P was up 1.13% yesterday to 6,445, all-time high. And the NASDAQ was up 1.4% to 21,681, all-time high. The Dow Jones, not quite all-time high, but it was up 1.1%. It's a funny old market, isn't it? I mean, I would say if you can, hold a bit of cash, because if we do have a rollover somewhere, you know, and your company is affected, then take advantage. What else is there? Let's have government bonds. The two-year yield, 3.88. It's up 0.1%. The 10-year is down 0.1% to 4.6. And the 30-year yield, 5.44. Down a 31%. A pound will buy you €1.15. It'll buy you $1.35. So the Dixie, the dollar index, is off a little bit. Yeah, it has rolled over. It's now at 97.7. Recent high was 100 on the 31st of July. Recent low was the 1st of July. It went down to 96. So not far off that, to the lower end of the range there. Okay, that's it on the markets. That's, individual companies. This is from my microcap database. I've got small companies, of course, that are commercial. That means generating revenue. They don't have to be profitable. But to be profitable, they have to get in the Premier League of microcaps, which is the microcap league. And, of course, there's 30 companies on there scored on 15 different metrics, most notably growth and value, but momentum as well, and health and efficiency. So let's start alphabetically. First and foremost, Beeks Financial Cloud, launch of Market Edge Intelligence. Now, there's no updated broker note on this, but essentially, it's an AI solution and increases Beeks' total addressable market and opens a new recurring revenue stream. So the please announce the launch of Market Edge Intelligence with Board, which the Board considers to be the world's first AI machine learning solution for passive monitoring of capital markets data directly at the network edge. Developed through 2024-25, as previously announced, Market Edge Intelligence brings a real-time AI analytics and predictive intelligence capabilities directly to co-location facilities, generating actionable insights such as predictive alerts, infrastructure anomaly detection, capacity forecasting, and real-time trading signal execution. These insights bring cost savings and operational efficiency to Tier 1 and Tier 2 customers, including buy-side firms, brokers, market makers, exchanges and venues. Gordon said this is an extra revenue stream. Could help with upsell. And so, yeah, it's there's no sort of contract attached to this. But of course, when you have something like Beaks, then the product offering expands. And if this is a leading edge indicator for these, you know, tier one, tier two sort of firms, then I can't see them wanting to be without it, because it's all about having the edge, isn't it? And it's quite clever they announced it, Market Edge, because it gives you that edge. For 2025, Beaks are expecting 24% top-line growth. That's to 35.5 million. 128% net profit growth to 5 million. And like I said, this is a company that's quite special, I think. It's done, since 2015, it's done double-digit, 100% double-digit revenue growth, which is unknown. And it's not unknown, but I mean, of the companies I've studied, it's one of the only ones that's done that. Even looking at the sort of supermarket performers that have done over 1,000%, even some of those have not done double digit revenue growth for 100% of the time. I think they've got something special. I've done a video on it. Check out my YouTube channel. It's not investment advice. I own some of the company, so a little share of the company. So I'm probably quite bullish on that. I'm quite biased. Next, Shoezone. They're in trouble here. Trading update. Now, Shoezone at 67 pence. In fact, where are they today? I know they've fallen quite a bit. The shoes come off. 69 pence, right? Yeah. At 67 pence, they have a market cap of 30 million, enterprise value of 27 based on their last set of financial results. But this is the second profit warning from Shu in the last 3 months. At the H1 results in May, they halved their profit forecast for the year from 10 million to 5 million. Now, they've halved it again to 2.5 million. I mean, on a positive note, if there is one, they are debt-free and they state cash levels currently higher than the same period last year. But this alone is not a reason to invest, and I think it is wiser than they were cutting the dividend to do that. Forecast 25 now. Revenue going to be down 6% to 152 million. That's 152. Net profit down 74% to 1.9. That's 67 pence a share. It's a forecast PE of 16. That is not cheap for a company that is obviously struggling. 2026, their revenue is going to be up by 3%. To 156 million, net profit up 78% at 3.4, at 67 pence a share, a forecast PE of 9. That's okay if they hit these figures, but at the moment, I do not think it would be wise to suggest they will hit them. I could see more downside here, to be honest. It's definitely Shoe Zone is not in the buy zone. What's next? So that's one company that's consumer-facing that's struggling. They've halved their profit twice in the last 3 months. Next, Ultimate Products. Pre-close trading update and a listing review. I think they're discussing moving from AIM. So the owner of a number of leading homeware brands, including Salter, the UK's oldest houseware brand, and Beldray. They sell to over 300 retailers across 38 countries and specialise in 5 product categories: small domestic appliances, housewares, laundry, audio, and heating and cooling. The CEO, Simon Showman, actually holds about 21% of the shares. But at 55 pence a share, they are market cap 46 million, enterprise value 56. So they have some debt there, about 15 million. Their last set of results on the 31st, the first, they had net debt of 17.7 million. So now the 2025 results are expected to show revenue down 3% to 150.1 million. Net profit down 36% to 6.7 million versus 10.53. At 55 pence a share, it's a P/E of 6. May sound cheap. And they state trading at the start of the current financial year is in line with current expectations. Long way to go, though. However, this means figures for 26 are not expected to improve, so they will become more expensive. 2026 revenue down, expected to be 8%, 138.1 million. Net profit down 31% to 4.6 million versus 6.7. At 55 pence a share, that's a PE of 10. And consumer sentiment within the market they operate in is pessimistic, and I can't see it getting better soon at all. Now, they also are in a net debt position. I can't see why they're doing a share buyback. I think it's really irresponsible having, net debt. Fundamentally, you're not improving and you're buying back your own shares. And the dividend is around about 13%, which is not sustainable. So I would suggest they cut the share buyback and the dividend payment until the market stabilises a bit, because at the moment it doesn't look like it is. So that's the second company, consumer facing, having a tough time of it. Winking Studios. What an odd name. It's headquartered in Singapore. The group has 12 studios across Kuala Lumpur, Taipei, Shanghai, Nanjing, Shenzhou, Tianjin, Dalian. They provide end-to-end art outsourcing and game development services for the global gaming industry. So it's mainly art. And it seems like gaming companies are, outsourcing their artwork. So, at 16 pence a share, market cap 70 million, enterprise value 40. So they've got a decent amount of cash. In fact, they've just released their half-year results. The cash has gone down because they're acquiring companies. They did have 29 million in cash at the 31st of 12th. It's gone down to 19 million now. So on 10 million, they've gone down. Nevertheless, they are profitable. So the H1 results to the 30th of June show revenue up 27% to 14.3 million versus 11.3. Profit before tax down 5% to 705k versus 745k. Cash down 36% to 18.96. And free cash outflow down 369%, minus 9.5 million versus minus 2. But of course, they've invested in companies. Now, the forecasts. For 25, revenue is going to be up to 36%, 32 million. Net profit up 357% to 1.78 million. So it's a big rise on percentage level, but it's from low numbers. At 16 pence a share, PE of 40. However, 19 million of cash. So it's more like an EV earnings ratio of 29. For 26, they're saying revenue up 17%. 37.8 million, net profit up 63% at 2.89. At 16 pence a share, it's a PE of 24, EV earnings of about 18. Not cheap, but they have growth. So maybe worth watching as increasingly, it's an interesting sector. I'm not too much aware of this, where gaming companies are seemingly increasingly outsourcing game art to lower cost Asian workers. The numbers there are in pounds. I've converted that from dollars to pounds at 0.74 conversion rate. So maybe worth having a wink to, but it's not cheap at the moment. But who knows, growth could improve. And the third company is consumer facing. And I suppose Shuzhong is less discretionary, isn't it? You need shoes, kids need shoes. But I mean, the competition in the shoe market. I don't know, but you've seen the figures. So they've got 10 pence a share. Their market cap is 18 million. XP Factory, this is, by the way. XP Factory, the last one. They did a trading update, notice of results. XP Factory was a preeminent experiential leisure business, which currently operates two fast-growing leisure brands, Escape Hunt and Boom Battle Bar. So a 10 pence, 18 million a share, enterprise value 17.9. And they did do a long update today. And they tried to be bullish, but I think against a sort of negative sentiment, the backdrop is not good. And where they say hot weather has affected bookings in Q1. Plus, you know, it doesn't help the national insurance and all that stuff. But they said the board remains cautiously optimistic the group will meet market expectations for the 12 months ending the 31st of March 26. Cautiously optimistic. This basically means to me they may not hit forecasts, but they're hoping with a pickup in sales they might. So there's more uncertainty here than there was before this update was released. So I assume now they will hit 2025 forecast because March is the year end, even though Q Q1 of 26 wasn't very good. So I assume they'll hit this. So it's 2026 numbers that are in question. So forecast 25, revenue down 2.36% to 56 million, net profit of 100K versus a net loss of 420K. So they are hopefully, you know, hitting profitability here. Now for 26, these are numbers that they're saying they're cautiously optimistic about. Revenue up 19% to 66.9 million. Net profit up 1,600% to 1.7 million versus 100K. Now, at 10 pence a share, this would put them on a PE of 11. I mean, to me, that seems quite reasonable. Seems like a decent valuation. And they've got some growth there. But that's if they hit the targets. But for now, they're in question. So I would await further information here, on the outlook statements on the 2025 results, which are being released on September the 1st. But it could become, you know, into buy zone territory here. If they can hold up on those 2026 figures, then it could look, you know, decent valuation. And like I said, they are now transitioning to a profitable company. So there we are. All I'm saying is, be aware. Consumers, especially in the first quarter of this year, have seemed to be a bit, you know, cautious. They're not spending. So there we are. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. By the way, less than a month left of the summer sale at sharepickers.com, 25% off. And you can go to sharepickers.com, click on the About menu option, top right of the website. And just to explain, Sharepickers Investment Club employs a unique systematic method to uncover small, profitable companies on the London Stock Exchange. Each potential investment undergoes comprehensive analysis and is evaluated across 15 crucial financial metrics. This fact-based, quantitative approach allows us to pinpoint high potential growth businesses and deliver consistent results, bypassing the hype and focusing on the numbers. And if you get 25% off, it's around about £2.87 a week, less than half a pint of beer. It's less than a battered jumbo sausage from the chippy, half the amount a person spends on a chocolate, and less than a latte from Starbucks. It's ending the 25% share sale. Share picker sale. It's ending at the end of this month. Okay. After that, you know, you can still get that off by buying the book, but just by joining the list at the moment, you get 25% off. It's ending. Don't forget, you know, joining the Sharepicker Investment Club feeds your mind, not your belly. That's the difference. Less than what? £2.87 a week. Bargain! That's it for today. By the way, if you join today, then you can join the weekly webinar, which is live tonight at 6 p.m. for all members. And it's, of course, recorded for the website. But until then, speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.